And from the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. The Central Council of the Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska held a forum for Juneau Assembly candidates on Friday. As KTOO's Katie Anastas reports, several candidates have called for more collaboration with the state's largest federally recognized tribe.
Earlier this summer, the Juneau Assembly voted to transfer nearly a dozen acres of city land on Peterson Hill to the tribe's housing authority for less than fair market value. District 1 candidate Joe Geldof said he'd like to see more of that kind of collaboration.
Some of the activities you do, there should be cooperative and shared power with the city and borough, particularly in the areas of delivering housing.
10 of the 14 candidates attended the forum in person, and Geldof joined on Zoom. Area-wide candidates Joanne Wallace, Emily Mesh, and Jeff Jones did not attend. Area-wide candidate Ella Atkinson is a Chuhyong tribal member. She said the city and Tlingit and Haida could work together on issues they're both addressing, like childcare, education, and services for elders.
Tribes are doing so much in terms of a lot of the similar things that CBJ is already doing.
Area-wide candidate Laura Martinson-McDonnell said Tlingit and Haida's job training programs are important for Juneau's workforce.
We have a really huge problem with skilled labor shortages, and if we can provide that kind of training to our own local people here, that's going to be a huge problem solver.
Area-wide candidate Ivan Nance spoke about opportunities for Alaska Native people in Juneau to get involved in city government. He's a member of the city's Systemic Racism Review Committee.
We're looking into how to get more people involved in the committees and the processes that the city has.
District 2 incumbent Christine Wall said strengthening the relationship between the two governments is an important part of building trust.
I think CBJ has done work to improve relations with the Native community here in Juneau, but I think we have a lot of work to do.
Tlingit and Haida is Alaska's largest federally recognized tribe. In May, President Chahyaish Richard Peterson announced the tribe would withdraw from the Alaska Federation of Natives. He cited the tribe's ability to manage government relationships on its own. Friday's forum came the day after ballots were mailed to registered voters. Election Day is October 3rd. In Juneau, I'm Katie Anastas.
6 weeks ago, an unprecedented glacial outburst flood tore through Juneau, damaging dozens of homes along the Mendenhall River. Now, most of those homeowners are still in limbo. Some are trying to figure out how to rebuild. Others are wondering if they even should. KTOO's Anna Canny has the story.
Amy Ballard sits perched on the edge of her couch. On a normal day, this room would be filled with the sound of Ballard's fussing infant twins or her friends gathered around the dining table.
I loved hosting. I loved the kitchen. I loved how big it is. I like how I'm saying this in past tense because it feels weird.
Today, it's quiet, except for the sound of the rushing Mendenhall River just outside the window. Last month, a glacial outburst flood threatened to sweep away Ballard's condo. She had just 30 minutes to grab her twins and some essentials as the water tore away at the riverbank beneath her building. This is the first time she sat down on her couch since that night. Ballard can't bring herself to sleep here anymore.
I really need to just, like, get over it and live here, but I can't. I think it's done. That's hard.
6 weeks later, flood recovery is just beginning. Some homeowners are figuring out how to rebuild. Others are reassessing completely. Ballard falls somewhere in between. She and her twins are keeping cramped quarters with her parents, who own a condo across the parking lot. She'd like to move out and resettle somewhere else, but she's in financial limbo. Insurance denied her claim, and state disaster aid is moving slowly. Meanwhile, she's still paying a mortgage and property taxes for a home she no longer feels safe in. And Ballard, along with the other owners in her condo complex, is on the hook for more than $20,000 to the Homeowners Association for post-flood construction and repairs.
I don't have money to put down in another place. I mean, most people do not have money to just dump into fixing their places after natural disasters.
The goal is to protect the condos from the force of future floods. But it won't be enough to keep Ballard here.
The river was beautiful. I mean, it is beautiful. And now I look at it differently. Like, oh my gosh, you can't fight nature. Nature's going to win, right? Like, that's something that I thought about a lot with.
Across the river from Ballard's third floor balcony, a dump truck drops a load of boulders onto the bank.
They've put so much rock in.
All along the river, restoration work has begun. Upstream, a large stretch of the riverbank in Joe Pagankoff's neighborhood is now lined with walls of rock. Gravel and sand are piled up around the foundation of his house on River Road.
150 dump truck loads.
Pagankoff and his wife had just finished paying off the mortgage when the flood eroded away their backyard. About a third of the house was left hanging over the riverbank. They considered it a total loss until a contractor told them it might be salvageable.
Really, I don't think I've taken more than about a 24-hour period off working on the house. And it's been mind-bogglingly hard.
Contractors were able to stabilize the building, but the bank is only partly restored. Their house is still suspended. So Pagankoff has been rebuilding the land by hand. Each day, he crawls underneath the house, equipped with a small shovel.
Okay,
this is my sandbox. And there's about 5 feet of walled sand that way. I'm about a third done. And so bit by bit, I'm shoveling over there and packing it in and then just moving my way this way.
Even as Pagankoff is doing so much of the work himself, the cost for contractors and materials will come out to about $150,000. Pagankoff had to cash in on his retirement savings to fit the bill. All this restoration work that he and his neighbors are doing is far from over. And Pagankoff said the real test will come with next year's flood.
The one thing this Yokolup proved is there is no complete. There is no certainty.
Meanwhile, Elizabeth Kent has nothing left to save. She lived in the house from the viral video, the one of a white house collapsing into the river. Kent and her husband were on sabbatical in Nicaragua when it happened. Her colleagues saw the video on news channels there. Kent and her neighbors along the riverbank helped each other to figure out what numbers to call. In the weeks after the flood, she spent a lot of her free time calling insurance companies, her mortgage broker, the city, and the state.
I think there's this momentum right after it happened of like, okay, I'm going to figure this out and I'm going to find all the resources and like figure out next steps. And like, you can't.
None of those agencies have promised any aid. By now, Kent feels she's exhausted all of her options. Recovery has become a waiting game. Kent says some officials have told her to hold out for federal assistance from FEMA. But she has her doubts. FEMA is already facing a funding shortage after other devastating disasters last month, including the deadly wildfire in Maui and Hurricane Idalia in Florida. Kent's been spending a lot of time thinking about people in those places.
It does make me realize that, oh my gosh, all the disasters I've ever heard about, this is what happened to those people afterwards.
For now, she's staying in Nicaragua. She's not yet sure when or how she'll rebuild when she comes home. In Juneau, I'm Anna Canny.
The decision by the Biden administration to cancel oil leases in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge was examined in a U.S. House hearing today. Alaskan Nagaruk Harcharchek is the president of an advocacy group called the Voice of Arctic Inupiat. Harcharchek testified that oil development has allowed the people of the North Slope to pay for modern water and sewer systems, search and rescue, education, and wildlife research.
That is fully funded through the development of oil and gas and taxing that infrastructure on the North Slope. So massive amounts of benefit that we've seen over the years from the 1970s when it was, including life expectancy increases of 13 years since 1980.
Harcharchek cast the lease cancellation as another decision that the federal government made without consideration of the Inupiat people who have lived on the land for thousands of years. Democratic Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York raised a letter from the Gwich'in Steering Committee representing a different group of indigenous Alaskans who praised the lease cancellations.
It is the organizing of everyday people alongside indigenous Alaskans affected first and foremost by development and on the front lines of the climate crisis that secured these other victories.
The Republicans running the House Resources Subcommittee on Energy and Mineral Resources called the hearing an examination of the Biden administration's, quote, mismanagement. Since it wasn't tied to any particular bill, the hearing mostly served as an opportunity for critics to air their views. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 58 degrees and sunny here in town. The low tonight is 44, though rain is on the way. In fact, there is a flood watch for tomorrow night through Friday morning, with the heaviest rainfall expected Wednesday night through Thursday morning. You're listening to KTOO. It's almost 5 o'clock. For more stories, go to ktoo.org.